Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
Amen. Get your Bible out, and I hope you always... BYPAP, somebody told me the other day. BYPAP means bring your own pen and paper with you. Not because I'm an eloquent speaker or anything like that, but because you're going to hear things that your memory will not remember. And the old Chinese proverb is true, the faintest ink is stronger than the strongest memory. So it's important to write down, not everything I say, just write down things that are really quick to be quickened to your spirit from the Lord, that He may want you to go back and review later, and as you go back and review, He unpacks more of it for you. So it's so important, anytime you come under the preaching or teaching of God's Word, that you have a pen and paper with you and write down significant things to go back and revisit. This morning I want to share with you, as I have been talking the last few weeks, about listening to God, hearing God, and obeying God's voice, how important that is. And today I want to bring to your attention three words that God really quickened to me several years ago. One morning I was back on my back porch, and I just stretched out before the Lord on the concrete, and I just prayed, and then I was still, and I listened to see what the Lord would have to say to me, and He gave me three words that shocked me. And the three words were inspection, correction, and direction. What He was talking to me about is what I want to share with you about today. That is keeping your focus. Keeping your focus. And you see the saying that we have up there, Peter Lord, I think, coined that phrase, the main thing is keep the main thing the main thing. We have to keep our focus. When you begin this journey, as I have began this journey back in April 14th of this year, hearing God clearly say to me, "Will you let me lead you?" I knew that He was taking me deeper than I've ever been before. I knew that this required of me things that I have not maybe given to the Lord before. It required me to really pay more attention and keep focus and to listen to God and then obey God and whatever He may tell me to do. And right out of the gate, of course, many of you have already heard the story. The Lord told me something that was totally off of my radar. It's something I felt was insignificant that I didn't think that God would be concerned about. But it was the simple thing of going to get a building permit because I was putting a fence in my backyard, and that I hadn't done that because I didn't think I needed to do that, and it was nobody's business but my own. And God quickly corrected me with that. So when God speaks to you, many times at the beginning part of it, it will be a simple, subtle thing that if you're not careful, you'll dismiss it to say, "That's not God. That can't be God. God doesn't talk to me about those things. He talks to me about other things." And you'll be surprised. But the importance this morning for you to be here on the first day of the week is that there's going to be a week ahead of you if you live that long. There's going to be a week ahead of you in which it's very, very important for you to be focused. Pay attention. There's a lot of voices crying out for your attention. I mean, you have it in the media, you have it in the world, and everything, and God is trying to get your attention, but God is not going to speak louder than the voices of the world. In fact, He's going to speak very soft to you. So soft that you'll miss it if you don't pay attention. It'll be a subtle, small voice. It'll come to you in the form of a thought in your mind. It's not an audible voice. But God will speak to you. He loves you. Don't you think He has something to say? Don't you think He's concerned about your life? Don't you think He knows about everything that your mind is on? He has something to say to you. Back in a month ago, my mom and I went to Tennessee to a funeral of my aunt who passed away, my mom's sister. And while I was there, I got to get to re-meet my cousins and so forth that I had not really stayed in contact with. And we were, after the funeral service, we were all gathered around talking and stuff and just having a good time. And I made a comment that was just joking. I mean, I'm a jokester. I like to joke. And sometimes my humor may come out at a time that it shouldn't come out. My wife tells me that sometimes. She says, you got to be careful with your humor because people don't know how to take you. And she's right. I thank God for a wife. It helps you. They'll say things to you that other people won't say, right? And so I made some kind of comment. I was joking about something, and I had said it to some of my cousins there. And I didn't think anything of it. It was just joking around, you know. I thought it was funny. They may not have thought it, but I thought it was pretty funny. And then that afternoon, I had a really opportunity to get alone with God at the hotel and just spend some time talking to Him. And I asked Him, you know, is there any blockages or any hindrances to me hearing you? I want to make sure I'm clear, God. And right away, right off the bat, He said, you know, what you said was really offensive to your cousins. And I thought, well, Lord, I'm just joking. That couldn't have been offensive. They know I'm just joking around. And that's all He said. So sometimes when you hear from God, it's not what you want to hear, but I heard enough to know that that was offensive to Him. May not have been offensive to them. In fact, I thought, no, how could that be? So it was too late that evening to call, but the next morning right away, I shared with my mom that I needed to make a phone call, and so I called this cousin up right away, and I said, look, you know, yesterday I made this comment here, and, you know, it was just my way of joking around, but it really was not appropriate. I shouldn't have said that, and I'm sorry. Will you please forgive me? And she graciously said, oh, I didn't think anything of it. You're just joking around. I said, I know, but God thought something of it. And I need to apologize. And say, okay, no problem. And it was over with, just like that. It was gone. But it was important to God. And it may not have been important. And I could have just fluffed that off and just said, it's nothing. Forget about it. But here's what happens. When you hear the still small voice of God in any way, and He gives you an instruction or correction or something to do, and you just kind of fluff it off, that's not God, don't pay any attention to that, then what happens is you begin to get hardness of hearing. Yes. You get more calloused. You won't hear Him as clear the next time and the next time. And eventually you won't hear Him at all. But you can remedy that today. By getting your focus back, by getting back to the main thing. You know, the pastor's job, you know what the pastor's job really at the church is? The pastor's job is not to tell you everything that God is saying to you. The pastor's job is to teach you how to listen to hear God for yourself. So I'm trying to do my job. Work with me, will you? Take some notes. And so this idea, I when I first heard these three words about inspection, correction, and direction, later on the Lord verified that or validated it for me by taking me to a scripture that I see these three words clear as day. It's Psalm 139. In Psalm 139, it'll be up on the screen. Psalm 139, the scripture says, search me, O God, and know my heart. That's inspection. Come inspect me, God. Try me and know my anxious cares and point out to me if there's any rebellious way in me. That's correction. Give me correction. And then lead me in the ancient way or the everlasting way or your way, which is direction. So very clearly from the start, we see in God's word that it's something that we're to be looking for on a daily basis because we have to do it because we're so easily distracted. We need help keeping our focus. Why we're here? What's our purpose? What are we here to do? And we need guidance from the Lord. God wants to lead us. He's the shepherd. We're the sheep. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. So we have built inside of us, once we're born of the Spirit of God, you must be born of the Spirit of God, born once in the flesh, born again, born twice, one the second time's of the Spirit of God. You're born now with the Spirit of God. Then, once you're born again, then you get God's GPS put inside you. GPS, God's personal spirit. I will instruct you. I will teach you the way to go. You got to learn how to trust the Spirit of God in you who knows how to communicate to you. Sometimes through a thought, sometimes through words, sometimes through the words of other people, sometimes through the scripture, sometimes through creation. God has an infinite variety of ways to know how to talk to you. Hi, Kathy. Good to see you. That's my ADD kicking in. Hey, I just saw Kathy there. Good to see you, Kathy, our dear friend. So God has an infinite variety of ways of communicating to you. He's not limited. It isn't just limited to church. It isn't just limited to the Bible or preachers. He knows how to talk to you. Amen. And sometimes it's so subtle, you'll miss it. You'll think that's not God, but it is God. So we got to be open, and we got to maintain this constant awareness of God. And if you're new to the Lord and new in your walk with God, if you've just been born again, if you're a new Christian, you learn that there's a new walk and a new talk you have to learn. Because his thoughts are not like our thoughts. And his ways are not like our ways. So we have to learn his ways. We have to learn how he thinks about things. We learn values. So there's a whole new walk, a whole new talk that we're going to be learning about all this time while we're here on planet Earth. And God knows what's best for us. God knows what's best for us. It's a good place to say amen. It means I agree. But here's the part. You and I think we know what's best for us. It's not true. We don't know really what's best for us. God does. That's why we need a GPS that we listen to. We get off track, and the Holy Spirit says, recalculating route. Okay, come on back. I want you back here. I want you to walk in rhythm with me, in tune with me. Life's too short for to be out of sync with me. You've got to be in sync with me. And one of the things, I mean, several things you learn immediately. I mean, in kindergarten level of spirituality and in first grade spirituality. So the things you begin to learn right away is that when you're going to walk with God, you got to learn to forgive quickly and get forgiveness quickly. You can't let it simmer. A good scripture for that you could read later on would be Matthew chapter 5. Jesus talks about anger, and even when you come to church to God, it's more important. If you come to church and you give your gift there at the altar, and then while you're there at the altar, you suddenly remember that you got an issue that's unsettled with your brother, he says, leave your altar there and get up and go back and reconcile with this brother first. Then come and offer your gift at the altar. That's the way God thinks. That's not the way I think. I think, well, God, I'll take care of that later. He says, no, I want it now. So God thinks differently. We think we know what's best. God knows what's best. And then when we let issues, like some issue between a brother or sister in church or your family or your spouse or whatever, we let it simmer. It begins to affect us. And it even can affect you physically in your body. It can cause all kinds of disease and sickness because you're letting something inside you, which is a slow death of sin, stick inside you, and then it affects other parts of your life. It steals your joy. It steals your peace. It steals your ability to listen to God. So it's really important to keep your focus. Amen? Keep your focus. And so we need to invite God. Inspection. Correction, and then direction. And that's his order. That's the way that it comes. Another thing that you quickly learn in grade school spirituality is that God's not in a hurry and he doesn't want you to be in a hurry. I didn't learn that in grade school. I don't know how I passed, but in spiritual grade school. But I do know it now that God is not in a hurry, and anytime we're in a hurry, we need to stop and slow down because a mistake is about to happen. God's just not in a hurry. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to react. We'll save you a lot of apologies later. Ask me how I know. When God leads us, when God's Spirit is leading us, there's a joy in our life. We light up. We have purpose. We're going somewhere. We may not know the outcome or exactly where we're going to end up, but we know we're on assignment from God. There's no greater joy in your life to know you're on an assignment from God today. There are people that he's going to have you meet, a path that you're going to cross, things you're going to see or say or do that's going to make an eternal difference because now you're on the path with God and you're keeping your focus and you got to listen and you got to pay attention. And many times when God begins to speak to us, many times at first it's not what you want to hear. It's a subtle act of love. He's bringing correction. Something needs to be corrected in you. If it's not corrected, you'll come back to this again. Or it'll get worse. Little issues, little campfires that get out of control, little campfires of anger, things that are left to simmer, you don't take care of them, they spread. And they get worse. It's no secret, our son Andrew, that we love dearly, is in jail. He's been in and out of jail. He's been an addict most of his life. He's in jail. And he doesn't like jail. Imagine that. And I remember saying to him one time, well, you know, they call it corrections for a reason. If you'll correct what needs to be corrected now, you won't go back to corrections again and again and again. But part of what God is correcting in our son is he's correcting some things in me. Not that he's making Andrew get in trouble, but some of the things that Andrew has to deal with, God is revealing to me there's some things in you that need to be corrected. And I thank God that he's at least helping me see that.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
Psalm 32 gives us a great example of what happens when we first of all have a self-directed life and then we finally surrender to God-directed life. In Psalm 32, can you bring Psalm 32 up there? 1 through 5, yeah, there you go. I don't think that's it. Let me get my Bible here. Imagine that, I have to use a Bible. Wow. In Psalm 32... verses 1 through 5. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Blessed. When your sin's forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord does not count iniquity, and whose spirit there's no deceit. Now notice this. It's blessed to be forgiven. Hallelujah. How many of you can raise your hands and praise God? Thank God I'm forgiven of my sin. I never have to pay the consequence for that sin. I'm not going to hell because my sins are paid for. Praise God, my sin is covered. But notice that David said, but when I kept silent, there was a time in my life I didn't confess my sin. And when I kept silent, my bones wasted away. That's a slow death. When I didn't confess what God had convicted me of, I just excused it or I just blew it off. Then my bones wasted away and through my groaning all day long. For night and day, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was changed into the drought of summer. That's self-directed living. God points something out to you and you just blow it off. Nah. Doesn't really matter. But when I acknowledged my sin to you, God, and my iniquity I didn't conceal, and I said, I will confess, that means agree with God, my transgression to the Lord, you forgave the iniquity of my sin. God is so quick to forgive. He just wants you to agree with him that it was sin. That's as simple as that. Because it's already been paid for through the blood. That's amazing to me. So why would you hang on to something right now that you know God's convicted you of? That's fool. That's being foolish. And then verse 8, I love this. God says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. You need me to show you the right way because you think you know what's best, but I know what's best. I will instruct you and teach you in the way, everybody say the way, you should go. I'll counsel you with my eye upon you. Don't be like a horse or a mule who won't come near to you unless you put a bridle in their mouth. A horse and a mule doesn't have any understanding. Don't be like that. So God gives us some instruction. So he's saying to us, look, welcome me into your life. I do know what's best for you. You think you know what's best for you, but I know what's best for you. Let me lead you. Let me instruct you. Let me correct you. Let me direct you. I want to ask by a show of hands, how many of you in here will let God lead you today? Starting today, right now, this very moment, I will let you. Okay. I don't need to see who, but I just wanted you to raise your hand as a witness to yourself. Now look at this particular scripture, Psalm 94. In Psalm 94, verses 12 and 13, I love this. God gave me, quickened this scripture to me several years ago. In Psalm 94, blessed is the man whom you chasten, O Lord. Chasten means discipline. Discipline's not getting a spanking. It's getting correction. Discipline is training. The root word of disciple comes from discipline. One who's received training. When's the last time the Lord chastened you? If you're without chastening, he says you're not a legitimate son. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He corrects. Because he loves you. He doesn't want to see you go into the pit. Blessed is the man whom you chasten, O Lord. Praise God. Raise my hand and say, God, thank you that you chasten me. Hallelujah. Please keep doing it, God. And teach from your law or your word that you may give him, that God may give you rest, which is the power to be able to stay calm when adversity or trouble suddenly comes in your life. He gives you power, rest, the ability to be like Jesus when it suddenly happened, when it unexpected happened. He didn't panic. He didn't fall to pieces. He was able to remain calm even through storms, even through adversity when everybody else was panicking. And this other part I didn't notice until this week. You'll be able to stay calm because you've let the Lord correct you. You'll have his rest until a pit is dug for the wicked. The wicked here would be Satan or anybody used by Satan to dig a pit for you to fall in, a trap, a snare. I'm going to give you a warning. When you leave this building, you get out in your car, Satan has dug a pit for you somewhere on your path ahead. He knows your history. He knows your way of doing things. He's dug a pit for you to fall into spiritually. A pit of depression. A pit of falling back into that addiction. He's got a pit dug for you. But God says, look, if you'll let me lead you, you won't fall into this pit. So when adversity comes, when trouble comes, and like you used to before, you'd go to your counterfeit comforters. You know, you'd go back to the alcohol. You'd go back to the drugs. You'd go back to the pornography. You'd go back to those things that gave you a little bit of pleasure, a little bit of escape, a little bit of feeling like, oh, I can deal with this now. And you won't go back to them. You won't fall into the pit again. If you let me lead you this time, when you'll avoid the pit. And this time you'll be able to stay calm in adversity. Listen, God doesn't expect perfection from you, but he does expect progress. So if you just keep going around the same mountain and mountain again, over and over again, the same habits again, okay, then you got an addiction that he wants to deliver you from. If you let him lead you. Psalm 16, verse 11. The last verse in Psalm 16, I love this. You, God, will make known to me, because I can't make it known to myself. God will make known to me the path. Everybody say the path. The path of life. The path he has for me. The plan he has for me. Where I'm to go, what I'm to do, what I'm to get involved in, what I'm not to get involved in. You will make known to me the path of life. That's God's part. That's his responsibility. He'll make known to me the path that I'm supposed to take, because I don't know. I'll make the wrong choice. I don't know what's best for me. He does. He will make known to me the path of life if I listen. And in your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore, not temporarily. So there's a path, there's the presence, there's pleasures. Now, how many people here are human today? Raise your hand. Praise God. Never know until you ask. Some people didn't raise their hand, so they're not sure what they are. That's all right. Satan has a pit for you. Every human being on this earth, Satan has planned a pit. P-I-T. People in trouble. He's got some trouble planned for you that he hopes that this trouble is going to affect you so much you're going to get stuck here. You can't get out of this pit by yourself. It's too deep. You've been in it all your life. Maybe your father was this way. Your mother was this way. Maybe you just think you were born this way or whatever, but you're in this pit that Satan has for you. There's only one way out. God will show you the path. But he'll do it only by your faith. Forsaking all, I trust him. Only by you trusting him. Only by you turning. He'll show you the path. He'll show you how to get out of the pit. And I say, speak of pit, I mean a place in your life where you've got an issue going on maybe it's an addiction. An addiction is like a fish hook that gets caught in your flesh. Have you ever seen one of those? You get a fish hook that's caught in your flesh. And if it's in deep enough, you can't just pull it out because there's a barb on the end of that fish hook. And sometimes they have to push it all the way through and snip it to come out. And some fish hooks, since they've been there for a long time, they can't just be ripped out. And God knows that because it would cause more harm than good. But God knows how to remove that fish hook. That addiction in your life. I don't care what it is, how dark it is, how bad it is, or how corrupt it is, how wicked it is. I don't care what it is. God knows all about it, and he knows the path for you to get out of that thing. In fact, he knew ahead of time that you were going to be in that.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, you got addicted because you got some pleasure out of this thing that has become a fish hook. I'm not saying that you were mean, but you were looking for some pleasure. Maybe you were looking for an escape. Maybe you were looking for some comfort because of some pain in your life. And so maybe you went to this thing. Maybe it was drugs. Maybe it was alcohol. Maybe it was pornography. And you went there. And for just a little season, a little while, it gave you some relief. At least you didn't have to think about the pain of the problem. It seemed like the pain was gone for a little bit. And so you got a little pleasure from this iniquity, this sin, that you didn't realize it, but the hook was going in deeper every single time you went to this counterfeit comforter. And now it's in so deep you don't see any hope of it ever coming out. Good news.
Hallelujah.
Our God is mighty to save. He's still the deliverer. He hasn't seen any problem or any situation. He says, well, no, I can't help you with that one. I don't care if you've had this problem all your life. The reason you go to this addiction that you're ashamed of is because you get some degree of pleasure from it. Am I right? You're shaking your head is not an admission that you're actually in one necessarily, but agree with me that any type of, you get an addiction because you got some pleasure out of it.
That's right.
If you got pain out of it every time, you wouldn't go to it. Just be honest. Yeah, I liked it. I enjoyed it. It was fun. At least I got some escape. I felt better for a short season. Then the guilt and the shame came in. And I even pulled away from God. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, it's interesting that God gives us a beautiful example in Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm only going to preach a few more scriptures. We'll be done. Hebrews 11, I want you to see this beautiful example of Moses. And it tells us, really, how to get free from addiction, even though the word addiction is not mentioned. It says, by faith, everybody say, by faith.
By faith.
That's how you work with God. It's got to be by faith. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction, choosing rather to suffer some pain with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin, which are only for a season. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. He looked to the reward, the reward, the reward. God rewards faith. And by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. And here's the whole key. He endured by seeing him who is invisible. He endured the temporary pain, the temporary reproach, the little bit of difficulty of not going into all the treasures of Egypt and just living a selfish life. Instead, he chose to identify with the people of God. And so knowing that it's going to cost him some pain, he's going to be forsaken, he's going to become a fugitive and all the things along with it, he endured because he saw God is real.
Amen.
By seeing him who is invisible. This is how you walk with God. By faith, you see him who is invisible. This is how you hear God. By faith, you hear him who is invisible. When you start really intentionally listening for God to talk to you, and you obey whatever he tells you, usually it's a correction at the beginning. When you begin to do this, listen, you're going to start to see things other people don't see. And you're going to start to hear things that other people don't hear. You're going to be an odd duck in the world. When you start listening to God and doing like Moses did, he refused all those things he could have had in order to identify with him who is invisible and his calling for his life. And then he began to see things that other people didn't see, and he could hear things that other people didn't hear. Let me give you one quick example of that. It's John the Baptist. And before I get to John the Baptist, let me verify this with Scripture. John 14, 21. Jesus says, if a man loves me, if you love me, he will obey my word. He'll keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. We'll make our home with him. If any man hear my word and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loves me will be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. I'll make myself known to you. Known to you so much that the person sitting next to you may not even get the same thing you get. You may hear God and the person next to you don't hear a thing. You may see God revealing something to you and the person sitting next to you doesn't get it. I'll manifest myself to you if you'll love me and keep my word. You'll obey what I tell you. What an adventure. Every day is an adventure. What guidance do you have for me today, Lord? Where do you want to go today, Papa? You lead, I follow. People you put in front of me that are there for a reason. How can I minister to them? What should I say to them? In John 14, 21, when Jesus said this, he said this to the disciples that were around him. He said, you know, if any man love me and he'll keep my word, I'll manifest myself to him. And Judas spoke up and said, well, Lord, why is it you're going to manifest yourself to us here, but not to the whole world? And that's when he went on to say that if you hear me and obey my commands, the Father and I will come and will make our home with you. See, we'll live inside you. We'll dwell with you on a daily basis. We live with you. Your body is our home. I'm at home with you. So you'll know things about me that people who only come to church once a week and expect to hear God once or one day a week, you'll know more than they do because I live with you all the time, 24/7. John the Baptist was one that heard God before his time. He didn't have the Holy Spirit living inside him. And John the Baptist said that God told him, the Spirit of God told him, the one way that he would recognize the Messiah when the Messiah would come would be that he would recognize him by seeing the Spirit of God descend upon Jesus like a dove and remain. God made that known to John some way. John knew that, and he held on to that in his heart. Now, he's the only one who heard that. So when Jesus showed up at the river when John was baptizing people, the Pharisees criticized John and said, who are you? Are you Elijah? He said, no. Are you the Messiah? He said, no, I'm not. Then why are you baptizing people? He said, I'm baptizing people to prepare them for the Messiah that's coming. That's my assignment. And then Jesus showed up, walked through the crowd, looked like everybody else, looked like a normal person. You wouldn't have spotted him from anybody else. He looked as normal as anybody, didn't have a halo on his head. And Jesus walked right up to him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. He had a revelation. When you walk with God and listen to God and obey God, you'll see things that other people don't see. You'll hear things that other people don't hear. Nobody else heard God say that. And then John, I mean, the scripture's not real abundantly clear, but it seemed like that he and Jesus were probably the only people that recognized, that saw the dove come down upon Jesus in the spirit form at his baptism. And heard the voice say, this is my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased. John heard those things, saw those things. Because he was a man who was determined to listen to God. Now, John was a man just like us. Don't you think that one time or another he had to receive some correction? Inspection, correction, and direction are part of our walk. This past week, we had our grandkids here. Last Sunday, we had the privilege of them all sitting up here on the front row, and my daughter and son-in-law, and we had a wonderful time with them at the house. There were 7 grandkids, and my daughter and son-in-law, and Pam and I, and then that makes what? I don't know. And they brought a friend in addition to that. So in our little house, we have about 1,800 square foot house, not a big house. So our house was like a zoo. I mean, there's bodies everywhere. Now, I grew up as an only child. I like my peace and quiet. I'm selfish that way. I do like my peace and quiet. And man, I got 11, 12 extra people in my house. I can't go anywhere to find any place where I can be alone for a minute, you know? So anyway, it was a wonderful time, and we had a great time with them. And then we had planned, they rented a condo for a week over in New Smyrna Beach. And Pam had rented a condo for us over there, too, so they could be in the same area, right there in the same vicinity. So we were expecting this last week. We were going to go to the beach all week long. We're going to be with the kids. It's going to be a wonderful time. At least Papa will have his privacy. He won't be there always underneath the children's feet. You know, he can have his coffee and quiet time in the morning, which I love. And lo and behold, wouldn't you know it, when we get over there and we get all of our luggage in and we're getting ready to go inside this condo that we had rented several months ago, we go on and, first of all, it doesn't smell good. So Pam, who's the nurse, and she's going through checking everything, you know, and pulls up the bed sheets, and sure enough, there was even signs that there had been bed bugs. So guess what? Not going to stay there. Where are we going to go? There's no room in the inn. Well, you can come over here to our condo. We'll give you this bed, and the kids can sleep over here. And next thing you know, we're with the kids. Yeah, God got a great sense of humor. Sometimes I don't like it, but he does have a sense of humor. So we go, and it was wonderful. In fact, we knew, and it was clear that we were supposed to be there. But in the process, now we got this other thing going on. You know, Pam's talking to this guy on the phone that we rented a condo from, saying, hey, you know, this is not acceptable. It's not clean and blah, 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 you know. And I'm listening to her talk to him on the phone, and she's talking so long with him, I'm thinking, okay, he's giving her a runaround. He is not planning on giving us a refund. So I start to get a little angry on the inside, you know. And I go and talk to the Lord about it. And the Lord said to me right away, he said, don't be angry. Calm down. And he said a few other things to me. None of your business. Anyway, he said, calm down, you know, be patient. I know how to work through this. And so 2 days went by, and this guy didn't call us back. And I'm thinking, okay, he's not planning on giving us a refund. So I said, I'm going to call him. So I call him. My wife warned me before. She said, don't be angry. Don't you be nice. She already told him we were pastors. I said, I wish you hadn't told him we were pastors. Well, he said that. He asked, first of all, could we be lying about the things. My wife said, no, we can't lie. We're pastors. That's a lie, because pastors can lie. We know that.
I didn't think you could lie because we're pastors. I said, we don't lie.
Well, let me tell the story. You're right. You're right. There's more to it than that. So anyway, I'm talking to him on the phone, and I'm kind of listening to him. And he told Pam before, look, he'd been having some, he had his kids with him. He'd had some trouble with his kids, and he'd had different issues going on. Like, didn't give us details, you know. And so I got on the phone with him. I said, look, you know, we expect a full refund. He said, I fully intend to give you credit. I said, you mean a refund, right, not credit. And he said, no, I'm going to give you a refund. He said, just give me till the weekend. I've got a lot going on. I said, okay, all right, I will. I'll take you at your word. Thank you very much. Hung up. Lord convicted me just like that. You are so selfish. You should have listened to that man. You should have offered to pray for him. You should have listened to his problem. You're so focused on yourself and your refund, you should have ministered to him. See how quick we can get off focus? I don't get it right. I mess up. I need inspection, correction, and direction constantly. The next morning, we were there with Ken and Sarah at the breakfast table and having this devotional time that was wonderful. And if we had not been in their room, we wouldn't be able to share this experience. But I was able to share with them. The Lord convicted me that I need to call this guy back and apologize, ask his forgiveness, and also offer to pray for him or minister to him. And I did. I called him back. I didn't get his voice, but I got his voicemail, and I apologized, and I told him, hey, I'm sorry. I was selfish. I was just thinking about me. I'm sure you'll work it out. I should have been more concerned about you. I'm here to pray for you. I heard you had issues with your kids. If you want, call me back. I'll be glad to pray with you. I'm so sorry. GPS. But it's so subtle. So soft. That's not God. Nah. Why do I need to get a building permit? That's too much government anyway. Why do I need to obey the speed limit? They got this way down. This should be 55 here, not 35. God's not interested in the speed limit. Everybody just got convicted right there, boy. Wow. Well, maybe he is. Maybe you ain't listening. So, again, I say that to you to let you know, hey, your pastor, the spiritual leader, doesn't get it right. Sometimes he misses it. Inspection. Correction. Then direction. Well, praise God, I was able to repent of that and get back on the path. Here I am sharing it with you. I asked the Lord after that, I said, Lord, are there any hindrances in my life to keeping me from hearing you or walking in the path you have for me? He told me quickly four things. Maybe these fit with you. One of them was hurry. Hurry is a hindrance to God working in your life. You're in too much of a hurry. Second thing he said is worry. Worry is a hindrance in the life that I have for you. Number three, he said, fretting. Got fretting. Be like worry, I guess, but it must be more. This is what he told me. I'm just telling you, fretting. And the fourth thing he said to me was, your to-do list. I write down a to-do list for my week. Nothing wrong with that. But my to-do list apparently gets in his way sometimes. Because I've already set my agenda for the day. I'm going to meet with this person. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this and this. And I don't leave margin where God may just want to do it suddenly. Then I'm in a hurry to get my list done. That may not be the things God wants me to do. Or I see an interruption as an interruption when it may be an appointment. Yes. Are you listening? That's just me. Maybe that's not you. But if it helps, take it. Then I said, how do I solve this? He said, meditate on my word. And what he meant by that was to keep a word, like keep a scripture that means something to me that right now. I write it out on a little 3x5 card and I keep it near me or keep it in my pocket. And I pull it out throughout the day and go over it because I'm recalculating my route. I don't want to get way over here before I find out, boy, am I out of alignment. Usually when I'm way over here, I know I'm way out of alignment. But it started way over there with one step, then two, three, four, five. Happened quick before I knew what was going on. So he said, I want you to meditate. And to me, now this is for me. He was saying to me, I want more of you than you're giving me. I don't want just your morning, your quiet time, your meditation time and all that. That's good. I want all of you. When you're going through the day, when you're going to the store, when you're going to Walmart, when you're doing things, I want all of you. I'm jealous for you, not jealous of you, but jealous for you. I want all your life, everything, everything. Everything matters. Everything is significant. Everything has to do with me and you. I want all of your life. Whew. Lord, that's a lot more than I ever signed up for. But if that's the path, let's go. More of your presence. More of awareness of your presence. The song we were singing this morning. Perfect. More awareness of your presence, God. More awareness of your presence, God. Seeing him who is invisible like Moses. How did he see him who is invisible? By faith. He walked by faith. How do you maintain a walk by faith? By walking in love, being quick to forgive, quick to release, quick to take care of issues, quickly to get corrected. And meditate on his word. Keep it before you day and night. Three words. What did the preacher preach about today at the church? You're going to say three words. What are they? You got it. You got it. Now, like Jesus said, it ain't going to do you any good unless you use it. And now you're about to go out into the world and experiment. Let God lead you. He will do it. Only if you'll say yes. Would you stand together? Thank you, God, for your word today. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. You know what's best for us, God. We don't. We need you to guide us, to instruct us, to teach us. We need you to inspect us. Search our heart, O God. See if there's any wicked way in me. We need you to correct us, God. Point out any anxious thoughts that we have. And then we need your direction. Lead us in the path, the ancient way, the everlasting way that you have for us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. There's never enough time at an invitation to do all the things that you think you need to do. All the things you need to cover. Priority one is for people to be born again of the Spirit. You could go to church all your life and never be born again. You must be born again. Jesus said that. If you want to know more about that, if you'd like to be born again, if you're ready to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior and repent of your sin and start to follow after him, then I invite you today to come forward and share with any one of the counselors who are going to be up here with me. All those folks that I've asked to be altar workers and counselors, and I've said, yes, I want you to come. Come up here and stand with me. So people can have someone to talk to. Someone can give them the counsel of the Lord. Healing is part of what Jesus did. We believe in healing. We've seen miraculous healing here in this church. Sometimes healings are instantaneous. Sometimes they're a process. But part of the gospel is to bring healing to our bodies. Jesus is the healer. I experienced a healing this past week. I just look at it as miraculous. Thank you, God. Because I had to hold on to His Word and believe His Word and confess His Word. See, sickness and disease is oppression from the devil to try to wear you down and make you give up your faith. And you fight the good fight of faith by believing God's Word and speaking God's Word. God's ready to heal anybody, if anything, if you'll just believe by faith. Come to Him. How many times did Jesus say, "Your faith has made you whole"? That's how He does it. I invite you to come up. Sometimes people have to lay hands on the sick and they recover. Sometimes they're anointed with oil. Sometimes it's just speaking a word. You can be healed. If you need healing in your body, come right now. Don't even wait. Just come. If you need healing in your body, say, "I need healing in my body." There's no shame in that. God's ready to heal. You learn how to swim by jumping in the water and swimming. You learn how to be married by saying, "I do," and then walking through it. And the healing's the same way. You take a step. Believe God. Some of you have a fish hook in you called addiction. God knows how to deliver you from that. And He can do it. But it starts with your faith in Him. So if you're here today with any kind of addiction, don't be ashamed of that. Instead, come forward and put God's light on it and come out of the darkness and confess, "I got a problem. I need deliverance. I need healing. Help me, God." He'll help you. So if you have any issue whatsoever, this is the time to act by faith. Come to God. Trust Him. And then see what the next thing is He wants you to do. Now, I just bless you today. And if those of you are visiting for the first time, stop by the bookstore. My wife and I would like to greet you warmly. But lift your hands with me right now, would you? May the Lord bless you, precious one. May the Lord be your keeper. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His wonderful, sweet, shalom peace today that you can give to somebody else. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Happy Lord's Day, everybody.